independent in thought and punk rock in life. It's the Chad Benson Show.
In Ohio today, we're more united. You know why? Because I'm not playing that stupid political game, and I think political parties are on their way out.
John Kasich right there, and I couldn't agree with him more. I think political parties are on their way out. I think not that they're obsolete. I just think that the way they are right now, they're obsolete. The way that they are right now. There'll always be political parties, but I look at the parties we have now, and I talk to a lot of people. I do. You know, yesterday I was working out before I went and saw my little dude, and people came up to me and said, hey, listen to your show. And like three or four people come up, and we were talking about stuff. And one was younger, a little bit more progressive and liberal. Two of them were a little bit older, as far as age. They weren't old. They were just older than the person I was talking to earlier. And they weren't too dissimilar in their thought patterns, right? And it's funny because while one was a Democrat, the other two were Republicans. The thing I noticed is that what they were talking about when we were talking about, their party no longer represents them. I don't have a party. I don't believe in a party. I believe in America. I believe in individuals. I believe in the individuals who run our country. Some of them I don't believe in. Some of them I have a lot of faith in. Other ones, you know what? It's too early to tell, or you just don't know anything about them. Right? That's the truth. But listen to what John Kasich says here, and I think it's just so spot on.
In Ohio today, we're more united. You know why? Because I'm not playing that stupid political game, and I think political parties are on their way out.
Political game. That's what it is, right? It's a political game. It's a game they play. Now, I would love to see independents. I would love to see people who have zero, zero party affiliation, but it's tough. It's tough to have no party affiliation for one big reason. You need the money. That's it. Politics is expensive. It's expensive to get into. You got to raise a ton of money. And unless you have deep pockets yourself, you're going to struggle along the way to make any noise. You may do it in a small affair. You may be able to generate some social media that may bring you into some stuff, but it's too much of a one-off to build anything grassroots-wise. But I'm over party. I really am. I think once you become the president, once you become a senator, once you become a congressman, once you become a councilman or woman, once you become any of these things, the party affiliation goes away and affiliation comes. I represent all of you, not just some of you. Some of you I'm going to piss off. Some of you I'm going to do the best I can to make you happy. I'm not going to make every one of you happy because it's just not possible. Because I found in my life, the more you try to make everybody happy, what happens? You make people unhappy and more of them. Then you do make happy. And you can't have that. For years, I've always wanted people to go to the ballot box and have nothing to vote for as far as R or D by somebody's name. It's just their name. No party affiliation. None of that stuff. It's just their name. That causes two things. The most important thing is you have to do your homework and know who you're really going to vote for. It can't just be, well, I've always been a Republican or always been a Democrat, so it's got a D, I'm going to go for it. So you have to actually look at some of these people. Right? Secondly, it kind of makes them all even. Meaning they're just there. There's a name there. And I find that to be extremely exciting. Because in this day and age that we live in, politics has gotten so partisan and so ridiculous that it drives me crazy. People ask me all the time, what's your party affiliation? I said, nothing. I don't have a party affiliation. I don't want to be a party to these parties. Right? I vote for on each cycle. And the minute that it's over, I'm a free agent again as far as who I'm going to be voting for. That's the way you should be always. When you come into something knowing I'm only this party, doesn't matter what the person does, right? It doesn't matter.
People care less about party. They want action and things done. But it's not just politicians. It's where you work and where you live and what you do.
Action. The one thing about Trump that I was hoping we'd get. Action. I don't care how it gets done. As long as it's legal, I just want it done. If you say you're going to do something, get it done. Now, there's always, certain circumstances where things aren't going to get done. And Washington's a great place to look and find out where circumstances and politics getting in the way of actual progress and getting stuff done. I may not like Obamacare, but I admire the effort. Look at what the Republicans had 7.5 years to put something together, and they didn't get it done. Now, I expect them to get stuff done. But I also expect the president, who is not an ideologue, to go out there and get deals done. Because getting deals done is extremely important. It's about compromise. This is Mick Mulvaney talking about actually getting stuff done.
We have offered to open the discussions to give the Democrats something they want in order to get something we want.
Get stuff done. What's a negotiation like in life? Well, obviously, the best negotiator is a person who's got leverage over the person they're negotiating with. These people have leverage, and that's the way they should always be. We have no leverage. But because of the gerrymandering and the fact that we're stuck voting for the same old ding-dongs over and over again, that's the leverage they have over us. When in truth, every time they come and ask us, will you hire me again? The leverage should be no, because you failed. You didn't try to work with the other side. You didn't do the things you were supposed to do. You failed over and over again. Bernie Sanders, like him or dislike him, I'll tell you what. Admire the guy for the effort. Might not like his politics. May not like a lot of what he believes in. There's a mayoral race going on in Omaha. He's standing behind the Democrat. A lot of people are pissed at him. Well, he's a Democrat. Why shouldn't he? Guy's pro-life, not pro-choice. Oh. You're not always going to get everything you want in life. Bernie, again, was open this weekend, talked about the failures of the Democrats across the board.
What it has got is a grassroots party, a party which makes decisions from the bottom on up, a party which is more dependent on small donations than large donations.
What have the Republicans done? They went and they cherry-picked what the Democrats left out there. Now, granted, they ran a very weak candidate and in a situation where, realistically, I think Biden would have probably won. I think Bernie would have, just the socialist around there would have struggled. But you never know. But they ran a weak candidate. And who did they leave out? White, middle-class, working Americans. There's a plenty of them out there. And they struggled because they went identity politics, right? They went identity politics over and over again. It became more about the color of your skin, your sexual orientation, what you identify as. All of these, it became more about feelings than facts than reality. It became change and illegal immigration than it did the reality of a 42-year-old man with a wife and three kids struggling to put food on his table, and you want to talk about climate change. He don't care about climate change. He cares about work. And you abandon him because you cared about checking off the boxes of what it is to be a good Democrat nowadays. They have failed over and over again.
The model of the Democratic Party is failing. We have a Republican president. Republicans control the House, the Senate, 2/3 of governor's chairs.
Yeah, across the board. That's what's happened. Why? The Democrats, they went a little bit further to the left. Some of them went a lot further to the left. But you know what they did? The president came in and they did what they did with Obamacare. People saw that as an overreach. But then they start getting away and started becoming more about identity and less about the reality of what America is. Separate, separate, separate. Check the box, check the box, check the box, check the box, check the box. And the funny thing is as Bernie goes on to talk about this, the pain of the working class, which we've talked about that ad that Hillary did that Joe Biden looked at and says, you know what's missing there? Me. You had a gay couple. You had an African-American couple, you had a Latino couple, you had a single mom, you had all of these things. You know what you didn't have? You didn't have a white working class male. You left that off because you figured, well, I got them anyways, right? You figured you got this. You left them off. They have failed numerously, but this is the thing. It was a bit eye-opening when I heard him say this because he says this all the time, but sometimes I forget that he forgets that Obama was in the White House for a really long time, 8 years. And for a few of those 8 years, the Republicans were basically sitting around doing nothing because they had no power. And a lot of what the Democrats did led to what is that many Republicans talked about.
A party that speaks to the pain of the working class in this country. Middle class is shrinking. 43 million people living in poverty. Almost all new income and wealth is going to the top 1%.
Yeah. Well, that was on you. Remember that. A lot of that was on you. You guys put yourself in that position. But both of them are right in a lot of ways. Parties need to revise who they are. They need to find out who their base is. They need the reset button. Really, what I would love to see, though, is parties go away. But the money's too big. And by the way, both of these parties don't want any other party to be a part of their party. They don't. Democrats and Republicans love the fact that they got this thing locked and loaded. They don't want to share. It's a monopoly. It's Google and Apple. Right? They don't want that. They like what they have. If you want to be an independent and caucus with us, that's fine. But we talked about the centrist movement a couple weeks ago. And you know what? It doesn't take 50, doesn't take 60, doesn't even take 20. You put 10 or 15 inside of in Congress, and it could upset the apple cart and make them more of a, hey, we're going to have to negotiate here and actually get rid of some of this division and this ridiculousness of the screaming and yelling and actually do the right by the people, or you guys are screwed and nothing will get done. And we'll blame it all on you because we don't have the power you have. 844-DIG-CHAT, 844-344-2423. Chat at ChatBensonShow.com. You can text the program, 323-538-2423, 323-538-2423. We do it every single day at this time. It's called What's Next, and we are going to look at what's next for Ann Coulter, Berkeley, and those Republican students that want her to speak. Wait to hear who came to voice their support for Ann this weekend. So Chad Benson Show.
He's particularly intuitive or even psychic. He's just weird this way. It's What's Next with Chad Benson.
A terror-stricken town at high noon. With every swing of the pendulum, with every second ticked away, never have so few moments held such excitement.
What kind of woman are you?
Well, we'll find out if they arrest me when I show up to give my speech. I'm not sure if I'll do it in the daytime as they had requested, or do it when, you know, normal speakers, i.e., you know, corrupt Latin American rulers like Vicente Fox are allowed to speak. But I'm definitely speaking next Thursday at Berkeley.
That's just a couple days from now. That's Ann Coulter. This weekend, she got some of the big lefties out there. The likes of Bill Maher came to her aid and said, this is ridiculous. People at Berkeley, the snowflake generation, need to effing go away. And Bernie Sanders came out and said, this is also ridiculous. And this is what's great about Bernie. The thing that I have said over and over again, Bernie echoed talking about this. If you want, you know, she's coming to your town to speak, your school to speak, whatever it is, and you don't want her to, that's ridiculous. Don't shut up her. Instead, ask your tough questions. Come with your facts. Come with your figures, which I've said all along. What is it out there that you're so terrified of? If Bernie Sanders can say, you know what? He said, and I quote, to me, it's a sign of intellectual weakness. If you can't ask Ann Coulter in a polite way questions which expose the weakness of her arguments, it's all you can do is boo or shut her down and prevent her from coming. What does that tell the world? There you go. I've asked over and over, what's next for this? Well, she's not doing it in May. May was a no-go. May is a dead week they wanted to put her on. Essentially, kids are at home studying, or there's no class. Nobody's on campus, really, because they're getting ready for finals. It's a dead week. She's coming Thursday. And I've said it all along, and I'll continue to say it. What are you afraid of, liberals, progressives? What are you afraid of? If you can't have somebody come and they're going to speak on your campus, and you're terrified to hear what this person has to say. I don't care about what she says, right? You know what she's going to say. I don't care about going to hurt feelings. You come with the facts that you think back up your argument. You ask her the questions that you think will weaken her argument, and you take her on. But if you think for a second that Ann Coulter showing up is in some way, shape, or form going to destroy you, going to melt you like the witch in the Wizard of Oz, and that's how you feel, then you know what? He's right. You're intellectually weak, and you're not ready for prime time in the world. And you're a punk, and you're wasting your parents' money. Come with facts. You know what she's talking about, immigration. Come with facts. There's plenty of facts out there that will probably, a good portion of them, would back some of your argument. Not all of it, but a good portion of it will. But she's going to come with facts, too, and she's done this a long time. She may be pencil thin, but she's razor sharp. So you got to come with facts. But if you're that terrified as to allow the likes of Milo Yiannopoulos, a provocateur, is the likes to allow somebody like Ann Coulter on your campus or many other people who are middle of the road or right-leaning because you think in some way, shape, or form their thought process and what they're going to bring to the campus is going to destroy who you are and the community that they're going to be talking about against that and the other, or the ideas that they have are going to absolutely just, they're going to kill you. If you're that weak, then get the hell out of campus. Get off there. Go home. Go into a closet and cry all day. What's next? She's showing up. What happens from there? It's going to be interesting. What I do know is it's going to be loud. It's going to be entertaining. And if I know anything about Berkeley and the Cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs that are there, they're going to turn it into a spectacle. And it's going to make her look great. And it's going to make them look like clowns. The Chad Benson Show, Facebook, at Chad Benson Show, Twitter, ChadBensonShow.com, Chad at ChadBensonShow.com. Text the program as well, 323-538-2423, 323-538-2423. It's Chad Benson Show.
The Chad Benson Show.
Independent in thought and punk rock in life. It's the Chad Benson Show.
They kept piling on, you know, requirements, ruses. You can't speak in the evening. You have to speak in the daytime when kids are in classes. We're not sure which room you're going to use. We won't tell you to the last minute. You have to exclude everyone except students. And although the intermediaries kept encouraging me to say, you know, this is unfair. They never do this to liberals. I kept saying, nope, I'll do it.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. So I agreed to all of their demands and then wake up this morning and they send out a letter saying how much they love the First Amendment and freedom of speech and they're so committed to it. But we're just canceling her anyway.
That was Ann Coulter last week on Tucker Carlson. Well, not on Tucker Carlson. That would have been interesting and awkward, but on his show. And she said she's going to speak this week. So Thursday, we'll find out if she's going to speak. In fact, the Republicans, the young Republicans there who put this whole thing up and invited her to speak, they're actually getting ready to file a federal lawsuit. Whether or not they'll actually do that and whether or not Berkeley will back down, I don't know. But when you have the likes of Bernie Sanders, a Democratic socialist and a true liberal progressive in somebody like Bill Maher coming out and saying this is idiotic and stupid, it just goes to show you that we have gone too far in this crazy world. Remember, free speech is an amazing thing, but the speech that we need to protect is the speech that you don't like. That's what we need to protect. Because eventually somebody's not going to like your speech and they're going to want to come take it, and I'll stand next to you to fight them to try to do that. 844-DIG-CHAT, 844-344-2423. Pam and Indy, what's happening?
Hey, how are you?
I'm doing great.
Okay. You know what? It's absolutely, they're just learning how to be really good progressives, because when they can't get their point across, they bully people. And then they try and shut them up by calling them bigots and anything else that they can do. And I'm just kind of wondering how many riots they're going to start when they start opposing her even speaking, which is actually unconstitutional, but what the heck.
Well, you know what? That is a very that's going to be, again, I'm not blaming the Berkeley students may not want them there. And I understand the position of the college, because let's be real, Pam, you've got these young kids. You've got this facility. You don't want anybody getting hurt on your watch, because that's going to cost you a lot of money, as we see nowadays in the litigious society that we're in. So I understand where they're coming from in the safety. It's not even about the kids, because who's coming there also to cause mayhem? And we've seen it with Milo and stuff. But this is why, though, you look at the face of this and say, if I got to have extra security, I will. And if we got to do this, we got to do this. We have to show them, though, that we are about giving equal opportunity to people to speak. And if we don't do that, what does that say about us saying that we're progressive and we're open-minded when really we're the most closed-minded of all?
But they are, and they'll call you ignorant, and they'll call you a bigot, and then they'll scream for their safe place so that you shut up. And part of the problem is that conservatives have shut the hell up for too long. And we need to grow a backbone and say, you know, this may be unpopular, but oh well, because you've got, you know, we have rights too. And it's about time we started voicing that.
Absolutely. I appreciate your call, Pam. And you know what? The conservatives need to stand up and get out there and get in front of it all. And realize that, you know what, you've got a voice, use your voice. People may not like what you have to say, but use your voice. Bring with you your facts, and also tell them, look, if you don't like what I have to say, then bring with me my facts. The problem is, when I hear people say they're open-minded, very rarely are they open-minded, right? Some are. I'm the kind of person that's going to tell you right now, I've been wrong in the past, and I'll be wrong in the future. And I am open-minded enough in a lot of ways to listen to what people have to say and to go, well, I didn't know that. Because a lot of times it's not even about being open-minded. It's about being aware of what's going on, because you've only ever looked at something from one side or another. You've never put yourself in somebody else's position. You don't know all the facts. And a lot of times we in this country don't. One of the great sayings is that I love is, if you really want to know the truth, then don't come here with an opinion. Because if you show up with an opinion, you've already got somewhat of your mind made up, right? You've got somewhat of your mind made up. And that's what I see a lot happens in this young world of progressivism, which is their minds are made up. Their teachers have pushed this crazy ideology down their throats. They buy into it more and more every day. And then they go out there and they regurgitate a bunch of crap that they think they know. And then they get in the real world and the world kicks them in the balls. And they find out it's not all rosy and chariots. Not everybody gets a trophy. And most of them wise up. And it's a select few. But they're loud enough to get people to do things. And that's the scary thing. Right? That's the scary thing. Like, here's a perfect example. I'm not a conspiracy theorist kind of guy. I don't buy into 99% of that crap. But there is a call out there to take down Fox television. Today, I read an article in Huffington Post about sexual harassment of a guy that I've met on more than a few occasions. Very nice guy, Sean Hannity, who is about, and I'm going to say this, and some of you may be huge fans, he is as dull as they come. He is. He is what you see is what you get. What you hear is what you get. I don't buy it for an instance. Some of the other stuff I've heard along the way, I buy. Not all of it, but some of it, right? Some of it is an overreaction. Absolutely. But there is this movement now that if we've taken down one, we can take down them all. And even if it's not all true, in this day and age of knee-jerk reaction, freaking out about stuff, even if he says you have nice shoes, that is catamount to, hey, you wants to rape me. We can't have that. We can't. So you snowflakes out there, I'm telling you this for your own good. Life isn't all a bed of roses, right? It's not all trophy winning and attaboys. And to really become diverse and to really be able to expand your mind, you have to listen to what other people have to say. Because if you don't do that, then you will fail. Hardest thing to do is to beat a stupid man in an argument. Because if you come with facts and figures and you have real, real info on your side that you can point out to somebody and they refuse to believe it, because they're stupid, you might as well try to convince a wall it's water. But somebody who's open-minded and you show them stuff and they'll, hey, if they're really open-minded, they'll go, wait, I didn't know that. I don't understand that. I do now. Thank you so much. Appreciate that. I do. 844-DIG-CHAT. 424-23. Bobby, what's happening?
Yes, Bobby. Yeah.
Go. What's happening, man?
Chad Benson, how you doing?
I'm doing great, brother.
That's good. About that First Amendment. You know, that's the law of the land. And all these people out there in Berkeley protesting Ann Coulter when she comes to town. Well, those people must have failed reading and comprehension class in school. You know, they want to detract about the First Amendment. You got people against the Second Amendment. They say people don't have the right to carry guns. Well, all they got to do is comprehend what's written there, a comma, in the paragraph clearly sets forth people have right to bear arms. But anyway, I would blame these people out there in Berkeley's lack of comprehension as the First Amendment. I'd blame it on the teachers who brought them up in schools teaching them. They just showed ourselves to be dummies, you know.
Bobby, I appreciate that, man. And look, here's the thing. You got a bunch of young kids who understand that screaming and yelling is going to get them a lot of what they want. But if you can't have an argument with somebody, your Ann Coulter's coming here to talk about illegal immigration. She's going to talk about how people that have come here illegally do rape and they have killed. And the problem is, you say that people have come here illegally and they've raped and they've killed and they're part of MS-13 and they've done a lot of these things, and you show them facts, they'll freak out about that because it's automatically what they think is you are blanketing everybody. No, I'm not. I'm not blanketing everybody. But they can't have a real argument because to them it's all about feelings. That's why I tell everybody, you listen to my show, I'm going to give you facts, not feelings. I don't care about your feelings. I'm not here for empathy. I'm not here to be your friend. I want to be infotainment-wise. I'm going to treat you with respect. I expect you to treat me with respect. I'm not going to shout over you. But I'm with facts. That's it. That's what I ask. And it goes on both sides, left and right. But the First Amendment's there. And here's the thing, and she talked about this last week.
This is a taxpayer-funded institution, not to mention lots of kids getting federal money to be there. Attorney General Jeff Sessions should be looking at this.
I thought that went a little far based on everything I've heard and seen. You know what? And the fact that they may file a federal lawsuit to get her there, I have no problem with that. These institutions need to wake up. It's a private institution and you don't want somebody there and you don't have any money coming in from the feds. I got no problem with that. Again, I think you're doing yourself a disservice. I think you're absolutely doing yourself a disservice. 110%. But it's a private institution. I got no problem. You're getting federal money, and you don't want somebody there because you're whining, you're moaning, you're crying. Yeah, yeah, yeah. This just shows me who you are. You lack any kind of understanding of what it is to be a true American. You lack any understanding of what it is to have debate and argument. And you showed me that your intelligence level isn't as strong and solid as you think it is. Because you can't have a real debate and argument knowing what this lady's coming here for to ask her questions. But we've created a lot of this. The entitlement, the trophies, the screaming and yelling, and being able to get away with it, knowing that if you, the flea can now wag the tail, which wags the dog, and that's good enough to get everything done. And that is a sad state of where we are at this moment in time when it comes to free speech on certain campuses across this country and in certain areas. Because people want, they want to wear, and again, it's a small group of people that are worried. Most kids, they show up at school, right? 50,000 kids, 48,000 of them, man, they just want to get their degree, try to get the hell out of there and get out of their mom and dad's house, right? 2,000, though, they make that noise, they scream, they yell, and they get what they want, so why would they stop? The Chad Benson Show, Facebook, at Chad Benson Show, Twitter, ChadBenson, chat at ChadBensonShow.com. Text the program, 323-538-2423, 323-538-2423. Got Mike on the line. We'll jump to him when we get back. A lot of other stuff to still get to. A little say what? Straight ahead, Chad Benson Show.
Call it ridiculous. We call it reality with a twist. Say what?
Say what? I always love this. Plus size model poses in swim air to send a powerful message. What's the message you're sending? Right? What? I mean, what's the message? That who are bigger like to get in swimwear and go to the beach and swim in a pool? Right? Like, I swam today. I did a mile today. What message? Nobody says, wow, Chad's sending a powerful message. Right? You know? I mean, he's not like, he doesn't have a 32-inch waist. Oh, oh man, that is a message. No, I went swimming. Good God. What? Stop it. Enough with this crap about I'm sending a powerful message. Yes, big people like to get in swimsuits as well. No message there. No message at all. Right? It's no message. So stupid. God, I'm so over. Like, man, this, we need to send a powerful message. We do. I need to send a powerful message, guys. A message that's super powerful. I'm going to get into swimwear. Oh, wow, that's really... Go on everybody's Facebook feed. There's 1,000 pictures of people in their swimsuit. Are some of them gorgeous? Yes. Do some of them like to flaunt their bodies? Yes. Are some of them just regular people? Absolutely. No powerful message being sent. Plus size model poses. Oh my God. What are we going to do? Should we get her a trophy? Should we get her a hamburger? She's plus size model. She made like a hamburger. Chad, you're a jerk. How dare you? How dare I what? I was reading, Dolce & Gabbana have a new shoe out. This is the insanity of the world. So the plus-side model sends a message. Say, what? Because she wore a swimsuit. Dolce & Gabbana have a shoe out that says, I'm thin and gorgeous, and people are pissed. Make up your mind. Make up your mind, right? Sending a message or thin and gorgeous. Last week, we found out that thin people are more apt to be depressed than people are overweight because they're starving. Right? You're hungry. You want a burger. Right? I want a burger. Burgers taste good. I can't have a burger. No, I can't have a burger. Silliness. Just absolute craziness. Here's a little say. What? 1 in 5 adults in the UK can't change a light bulb or boil an egg. That to me is shocking. Because even though... You got the tubes out there, kids, the YouTubes. You can find out how to do these things. So they broke down some like everyday tasks that what people can and can't do, right? So 78% of people can't fit tiles, meaning a tile breaks, you know, inside the house. They can't put a tile in. It's not that hard. Put a tile in. Some of the stuff I was surprised, like change a flat tire. So 63% can, 37% can't change a flat tire. I have AAA, so if my tire goes out, that's what they're there. I'm paying for it, right? So I might as well use it. And plus, and I'm going to be honest with you, I don't know if I really trust the equipment that I have to handle the job that I may need. Right? The equipment that I have, I don't think it could handle my fly ride. And it may not work the way I think. Right? Wire a plug. I found that to be interesting. 57% says they can wire a plug. I'm not touching electricity. I'm not touching electricity at all. 34% says they can't read a map. But you, a younger generation, I completely understand. Why would you need a map? Remember Thomas guides? Oh, my God. Remember those things? Ugh. Okay, you got to go to page 4. It was like a puzzle, right? You flip it back into a page 168, and it'll be A4, and then you get an A, and then you get a 4, and then you map out how you get somewhere. You don't have to do that anymore. But yes, 21% of people say they cannot change a light bulb. I don't know who they interviewed, but they weren't the sharpest tools in the shed. And 19% says they cannot boil an egg. Again, you have the YouTube. The YouTube is available for you to look at. You can find all kinds of things on the old YouTube, right? You can find all kinds of things on a YouTube, like how to boil an egg. It's not that hard. I mean, it's really not. You can boil it pretty easy, but it's amazing that people can't. Say, what? We move from that to an amazing thing. Producer Phil, have you ever bowled?
I like bowling. I'm not very good at it, but I like to do it.
This is great. A man bowled a 300 game. How did he do it? He used 10 different lanes, and it took him 86 seconds. 86 seconds, 10 different lanes. That's amazing. You are a winner, sir. 23-year-old Ben Codelabold, the fastest 300 game in history using 10 lanes. That is amazing, my friend. Mike, real quick, Cali, you want to talk about facts and free speech? What's happening, brother?
Hey, just had two quick points. One is that most of these guys that try to shut down speech, one of their basic underlying feeling is that, hey, if you have a set of facts, you can only have one opinion about it, one way of looking at it. And a proof that the old saw that proves that totally wrong, that two different opinions are legitimate, is the old glass half full, glass half empty. Same set of facts, two completely different opinions about it. And
absolutely, my man.
So
got about 10 seconds.
I think they missed that. Second thing is that the Supreme Court decision about the fire in the theater was the worst thing. Once they opened up that door, the people took the ball and ran with it.
Absolutely, man. Appreciate your call. Thanks so much. 844-DIG-CHAD. Chad at ChadBensonShow.com. You can text the program always, 323-538-2423. It's the Chad Benson Show.